Well, hello everyone. It's Varosha here, and we are going to talk about setting up your base camp. Things we're going to cover are legal and administrative best practices, how to establish yourself online, and I'm talking about the basics, of course, right now, how to leverage technology and build your first team to get you going, and then lastly, how to design your physical and or virtual office. So the idea is that you're going to really have all the foundational things in place so you can start to move into marketing. What I would like to invite you to do is actually use the checklist to kind of get through these things and then listen to some of the things I say to make the right decisions for you. So the first thing you're going to want to do is to give a name to your business. Now, a lot of people will spend quite a bit of time figuring out the best name. I remember my first company was Good Living Guide, and I really liked it, but it actually limited me. And how it limited me to is it really appealed to a particular audience, and it left me unable to be able to change the type of coaching I offered. You know, I went from health and wellness, then I went to conflict, and then I went to business. So you can see where Good Living Guide kind of left me limited. And that's when I discovered the power of using your own name. So when you use your name like Ferocia.com or Ferocia International or Jenny Johnson LLC as your business name, then you can kind of change things as you go. Now, remember, your business name at the end is going to be what you register with your own government agency. And sometimes it's going to be something that hides behind the scenes. Like, for example, I have an S-Corp, and that S-Corp is called Agent 47. And that's only because that was my original company prior to becoming a coach. And underneath that, I've had doing business as business names, which obviously one of them is Ferocia, and another is Coach Training World. So if I haven't confused you yet, here's what you need to know. If you're just starting out, you may decide to have an umbrella company and miniature companies underneath it, or you might want to just keep it simple and have one company name and choose to make that your entity as well. So I highly recommend, as a new coach, using your name. And so sometimes that might look like your name coach, coaching services, consulting. It might be your full name.com. I was pretty lucky in that I was able to get Ferocia.com. Now, obviously, my name is a little less popular. Maybe it will become popular someday. I don't think so. But my whole point is if you use your name, you can change things later. And then if you decide to make that a umbrella company like I have with Agent 47, you could do something like Ferocia LLC or Ferocia International, like Marie Forleo has for Marie Forleo International. And then underneath it have separate companies that you're doing business as. The next thing you're going to want to do is choose your business entity. And I'm speaking specifically to those of you that are in the United States. These are what I'm most familiar with, and I'm pretty sure that you've got things that are very similar. And really, there's three business entities that are really popular. That's the sole proprietor, the limited liability company, or the corporation, which could either be a C-Corp or an S-Corp. Now, the most important thing to know about this is you should probably talk to a business attorney or a CPA or some similar professional to make the right decision for you. I know a lot of coaches will start off with as a sole proprietor. Some will start off as an LLC, but a lot of tax advantages have come around with our current administration around being an S-Corp. Again, this is something to talk with an attorney or a CPA. After you decide the entity, you're also going to want to obtain what you call your federal tax ID number or your employer identification number. It's probably pretty common for you to actually get a tax ID number because unless you have employees, and of course in your book, there's some check boxes that you can go through and see which is right for you. But it's just another number that kind of replaces your Social Security number. So when people will ask for your tax identification, you're giving them something other than your private or your personal Social Security number. So it's not only good for protecting your Social Security number, but it's also good practice because it separates you and your personal stuff from the business. Now, the next thing you're going to want to do is to get that coaching agreement all tuned in. And there's some samples inside the student center if you were one of our CTW students and or hopefully at your school they gave you something similar. But what I highly recommend is you really make sure that that contract that you give each and every one of your clients really works to protect you in the best way possible. Now, probably the best way to do that is once you've finalized it, pass it by an attorney. And one of the things I can say is there's a lot of law schools that will have business clinics that are discounted that you can bring your contract in and for anywhere between $50 and $200 get it looked at, which saves you a lot of time and money and, more importantly, keeps you protected. Another thing you're going to want to do is open up a business bank account. It's very important to separate your business expenses from your personal expenses, and I'm pretty sure you probably know why. It not only makes it easy for tracking, but it's the law. And so what you can do is find the best business account. And again, you know, in your handout, you're going to see some things to think about when you're doing that. Because if you're like me, you're probably going to really like having a free business account because you're not going to want to pay monthly $30, $40 fees. You're not going to have to have a minimum balance. So you're going to do some research. And the last thing that you're going to want to do just in this section of our process in phase one is to procure business insurance. Now, again, this is something that you're really going to want to think through and walk through with an agent. And the timing of this insurance is going to be important because some of you are going to say, well, I don't need insurance for one or two people. But what I'm going to say is you probably want to know exactly what you want to buy and who you want to buy from. So when that moment comes and you get that great contract and the company says, hey, you need to have insurance, you're not scrambling to hire just any old insurance company. Again, you can always post in the Student Center and see what other insurance agents people are using. But I do recommend reading through the content, you know, figuring out what's important to you. You know, do you need cyber liability? Do you need errors and omissions, product liability, general liability? There's a lot of different types of insurance that you might want to look into and figuring out the right amount of insurance, the level of coverage that you really need in the beginning, and then, of course, update it yearly. All right, so that is phase one. And most important is you probably are starting to see a trend where we're actually looking to some professionals for their advice. And I just want to emphasize that as a new business owner or a new coach, that it's really good to feel comfortable and confident that you are protected. And so having that business entity, you know, separates you and your finances, your home, your assets from the business. Having insurance, again, is another layer of protection. And of course, you know what is right for you. In the next phase of your business setup, you're going to establish yourself online. And that's actually done with four simple steps. The first one is to register your domain name. And of course, that's going to be a lot easier if you know what your business name is going to be. And if you're using your name, it might just be yourname.com or yourname.coaching. Or yourname coaching.com or something along those lines. There are a number of resources of places to register your domain name. GoDaddy has become kind of the all things to all people. The one thing to think about GoDaddy is you might get a highly discounted domain name the first year, but then they go up quite extensively the following year. So do your homework. A couple alternatives that you might like are like SiteGround, domain.com, Hostinger, Bluehost, Hostgator, Hover, and Google domains. Once you have set up your domain name, then, of course, you're going to want to create your business email account. And I just want to say a little bit about this because I see a lot of times people will use Gmail or Hotmail as their business account. And why it's important to have a business email is it's not only about brand recognition. Every time someone sees an email from you, it comes from your company name or your name. But it's also a lot easier for someone to search for you in their email inbox. And it's also a lot easier for people to just remember you all together, like, who's Ferocia? You know, why Ferocia at Gmail? What was linked to her? So I think you get my point. The idea is to really just keep your consistent brand by using your business name. And like if you do something like I do at Ferocia.com, you might write me at Ferocia.com, or I just simply use Ferocia at Ferocia.com. Now, that's brand saturation, if I've ever heard of it. Anyway, I'm kidding. The other thing you're going to want to do is obtain a web host. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Choose wisely because you're going to want a web host that's going to be able to get on the phone with you and actually talk you through things versus sell you things. And, you know, do your own due diligence. I personally use SiteGround. They have been great. I've had situations where my site did get hacked and they were on the phone with me for 4 hours helping me figure it out. So of course I'm a little partial to that. Other people might have their own favorite hosts, but what I would do is talk to them and get a good sense of the kind of support that they give, and especially for the kind of support you'll need at your level of technology understanding. Technology can feel really overwhelming, and so it's nice that you have someone that can actually help you to figure things out, even if you don't know the right language. Lastly, you'll want to set up what's called a merchant account. And a merchant account is just another type of bank account, and it's an in-between your website where you take money and your personal bank account, or I should say your business bank account. And the beautiful thing is there's a lot of different options. You've certainly heard of PayPal or Square or Venmo, but I often use Stripe along with PayPal just because of the level of customer service and ease once some things are set up. Certainly PayPal is also very effective and very popular, but what you'll want to have is at least one way for you to take Visa cards on your website or even on your phone or other things like that. You'll also want to be able to offer payment plans because some people won't be able to afford a full package, but they'll certainly want to invest if they have that kind of option. In phase three, you're going to move into leveraging technology and building your virtual team. For some of you, these might be things you do a little bit later once you've got your marketing going and you start to get clients. Other of you might find it's important to set these things up so that you're ready when that first client comes in. Now, the first thing is to set up your accounting software. There are a number of applications out there. Some of them can live on your computer. Some of them are online where you can access it anywhere in the world from any device. And in the book, I've mentioned a couple like Intuit's QuickBooks or FreshBooks, AccountEdge Pro, Xero, and Zoho Books. But the important thing is to really know what you're looking for in a software. I personally look for things that are easy to understand, that don't make me think like a CPA or an accountant, but allow me to be a business owner focused on what I love to do, helping others. Another consideration is coaching client management software. And you'll know that if this is for you, if you love being organized, love having one place to kind of look at everything, manage your client hours, billing, and things like that. You know, some examples might be the Coach's Console, Life Coach Office, Coaching Logics, to name a few. And the important thing to know about this is they are really helpful, but they are not free. And so my recommendation would be to consider these as part of your plan and budget for them, but also recognize that you may not need this level of detail and organization until you have a few clients. And that being said, something I do recommend is going out and researching and or hiring the kinds of service providers that you need to make your journey into coaching and your business efficient and not so frustrating. Now, I recognize some of you are going to be doing a lot of this on your own, but I still recommend going out and trying to find the right kinds of people that can help you in the times where you're really beyond your genius. This might be an attorney or a law school that has a business clinic. It might be an accountant, might be a graphic artist, web developer, or copywriter. But going out and looking for these resources in advance can really save you time and frustration later. There are also a number of websites where you can find quality freelancers. Some of my favorites include Fiverr, Upwork, and 99 Designs. One of the things I love about 99 Designs is it's a collective of artists. So if you really don't know what you're looking for, you can actually put out a project and get multiple designers to offer their ideas and then pick the one you really like and have them build it out. So again, there are a lot of different resources, but planning ahead and finding your people in advance. So when you need that logo, or maybe you need that website changed, or maybe there's some technology that you want to incorporate in your website, you've got your people by your side. So thinking ahead. And in phase four of setting up your base camp, it's kind of the funnest part. What we're going to talk about is figure out where you're going to do your work. So designing your physical and or virtual space. So those of you that are ready to take on an office, you know, you might be looking for one in a co-share workplace, or you might be looking for your own office where you rent it out to other people. The important part to think about is with a physical office, you can have that privacy and take it away from your home, but you're going to have some additional expenses. You know, some of those can be decorating in the way you want, you know, buying furniture and, of course, office equipment. Where other people might choose to work in libraries or coffee shops or have a home-based office. I've written a lot about that in the actual workbook, but the important thing to think about is what is most important to you and what is within your budget. The other thing to think about is setting up your virtual office, and I personally think about it as getting your own Zoom account or maybe using Google Hangouts or WebEx or Fuse. But I personally love Zoom, and so I'm putting a pitch for them just because they've been really great to work with as a coach, and they keep getting even better. The idea is that you have a dependable internet connection and some way to work with your clients around the world. So this part is really personal, whether you choose to work at home, to work in an office, or to maybe share space with someone else. But the thing to think about, and again, you know, I go on the air of caution because I'm a firm believer, and your philosophy might be different or your budget may be different than mine was when I first started, but I always put all of my money into my marketing and not into fancy things like the best computer or the best office. People are ultimately buying you and your services. They aren't buying the space you work out of. But if that's important to you, and I know for some of you it will be, then give yourself that luxury. Of course, it's just going to really depend on where your priorities lie and all that good stuff. So we are at the end of our course, and this means you've got a bit of a checklist to go through, but the support is waiting for you when you need it. If you have questions, go ahead and post them in the comments box below this course, or you may post them in the Coachpreneur Academy Facebook group. My hope for you is that you make the right choices for you and your business, and you consider what level of protection you want, comfort for you and your clients, and design your ideal base for your business. You know, we've talked about everything from your business name to registering it with a government agency to setting up your office to your coaching contract. I know there's a lot in there, so be kind to yourself and know that once this is in place, you are going to be ready to move on to creating your coaching business plan and get cracking on your marketing and getting clients. All right, thank you so much for this journey, and I can't wait to see you out there. All right, light your way. Bye-bye.